మన అతి మంద స్వామీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నమచర శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి గ్రంథాక్షిమద్భాగవతంకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధబాకి బిహారీకి సీతారాం లక్ష్మణ్ హనుమాన్కి నితాయ్ గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సంబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సంబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సంబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆగస్ట్ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్ టు అవర్ ఫోర్త్ డే ఆఫ్ ద సెమినార్. బై నౌ యూ ప్రాబ్లీ అండర్స్టూడ్ దట్ దిస్ ఇస్ అ వెరీ దిస్ ఇస్ నాట్ అ లెక్చర్, దిస్ ఇస్ అ డిస్కషన్. సో ప్లీజ్ feel free to participate. At least when you are asked. So we did the control of the senses yesterday. Why should we control the senses? And what happens if we do not control the senses? That was number 8 principle given by Narad Muni. Number 9 is non-violence. Why is non-violence so important? Why non-violence?
Because
violence is not only killing, but there is other kind of violence. So a good human being who is trying to lead a good life should not get involved in any kind of violence. Number 10 is celibacy, the principle given by Narad Muni. We all understand why celibacy is important. Then there is charity. Charity is something that we must do. Everybody should do charity. Charity doesn't have to be cash. There is all kinds of other charities also. Tan, man and dhan. So cash charity is charity, but there are other kinds of charities as well that we can give time or effort and mind. Why should we do charity? Because charity is a process to purify. So if I have $100, for example, I give 25 in charity, then the $75 is more purified. So similarly, if I have 4 bags of grain and I give 1 as a donation, then the other 3 bags of grain that I have left is more sacred, more purified, and is going to be more auspicious. Because anything that we have or we possess can be good for us, it can also be bad for us. We possess things because we think that these things will be good for me, but sometimes they're not. So purifying them, making them more auspicious by giving part of it in charity becomes more auspicious. So having this thing or possessing or owning something is not going to be harmful to me, is going to bring me more gains. Let's say somebody starts up a business with $100 and his business is doing well. Somebody started a business with $10,000 and still is not making as much as this person who did it with $100. So it is not the quantity that is most important, it is how something is used. So if something is auspicious, shubh, auspicious for you, more purified, then it can produce better result. It has a possibility of producing better result. We just give a money and business example, but everything else also falls in the same, similar category. Okay. So there are charity in 3 modes of nature. There are 3 modes of nature. Everybody understands the 3 modes of nature. Who can give us the names of 3 modes of nature? This little girl Radhika. Is it Radhika? You know the names of 3 modes of nature? No. What about the boys back there? 3 modes of nature? The young man over there, 3 months of major, yes, you. Yes, you. 3 modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. So you knew. So when I ask a question and you know the answer, you should raise your hand. Don't wait for me to call you out. Thank you. So how can the charity be in 3 modes? How would we identify what is a charity in mode of goodness? First of all, which charity do we want to do? Do we want to do charity in mode of goodness, mode of passion, or mode of ignorance? Goodness. Why not mode of passion? Okay.
Maybe you're giving someone money to buy cigarettes.
Giving somebody money to buy cigarettes is a charity in mode of ignorance. Yes.
The mode of passion, maybe you're giving so that you can give.
Mode of passion is you're giving something so you can get something back.
Mode of goodness is giving without expecting.
Mode of goodness is giving without expecting. Very good. There is, this was a very good simple explanation, but there is a little bit more that the Shastra will tell us. A charity in goodness is given at the right time, at the right place, to the right receiver. So all the things have to be right. And mode of ignorance, everything is wrong. The place is not right. The person who is receiving it is not the right person. And the time is not right either. Like an example is given that 2 a.m. some drunkard person comes out of the bar and there's a beggar outside, he's begging, and this drunk person has a bottle with some alcohol left in the bottle and he gives that in charity. Wrong time, wrong place, wrong recipient, and wrong thing to give. Everything is wrong, it's not charity. It's charity in mode of ignorance. Then, if we do charity in mode of goodness also, that charity will bring us a result. What result will it bring us? Charity in mode of goodness will earn us punya. Do we want to earn punya? Yes? No? Maybe we should take an audience poll. How many devotees agree that we should earn punya by performing good deeds, earn punya? And how many do not agree that we should be earning punya? Oh, this is just like almost split in half. And those who are not raising their hand at either one of the answers, what do they think? Is there a third answer here? Anybody can give a third answer? Raise your hand. Okay, let's try it one more time. How many devotees think that we should try to earn punya by performing good deeds, and how many think we should not be trying to earn punya. Oh, again, more hands, but split almost in half. So those who do not think that we should try to earn punya by performing good deeds, then they can tell us what should we be doing. If not earning punya, then what should we be earning? Can anybody volunteer? Something to serve Krishna, yeah. You're on the right track.
For service?
Yes?
Blessings?
Okay. So we're having trouble coming up with the terminology. The term is Sukriti. Those devotees who do not think that we should be earning punya, they should know, and everybody else should know, that we should be trying to earn Sukriti. Sukriti is kind of a synonym of punya, but it's not punya. Okay? Sukriti is more permanent, and Sukriti goes with the soul. Punya has to be spent. It's like a credit sitting on your credit card. So your credit card has a balance, meaning the credit company owes you money. Then you must go spend it. And when the soul leaves the body, it must go to spend that money. It must. That account has to be nullified, has to be brought to a zero. You cannot take that punya into your next life. You can take the result of that punya, but not the punya will not go with you. It must diminish. Some punyas take longer to diminish, but they still must and finish, come down to zero. Sukriti, on the other hand, does not have to be spent. The Sukriti goes with the living entity, life after life after life after life after life. And the balance in the Sukriti account cannot go down. You add to it and it only goes up. You can only add to it. You cannot spend that money. You cannot spend out of that account. But that Sukriti is taking you closer and closer to Krishna. Like another example, many people do, they like to circumambulate the deities. Why? Why circumambulate the deities? Why parikrama, pradakshina? What is the benefit?
Liberation?
Yes, similar benefit. If You circumambulate the deities, any Vishnu deities or Vishnu temple. Krishna, of course, included. This way, what is that? Clockwise? Clockwise, circumambulate the deities or the temple. That means you are going up towards Krishna. It's like this. It's like walking on a screw. You know, screw standing upside down and it has grooves on it and you walk on those grooves. Every time you walk this way, you're going up. Every time you walk backwards, you're going down also. So, always circumambulate the deities and or the temple, and always do it in the right direction. Every time you do it in the wrong direction, it's taking you down. Every time you do it in the right direction, it's taking you up. I'm not saying this. The Vedas, they inform us. That's why there is a system of doing the pratakshina, circumambulation, parikrama. That's why the temples build the parikrama, so people can go around and do the parikrama. So, Sukriti is also like that. Your balance in the Sukriti account keeps going up. And that Sukriti is what? The balance of the Sukriti that you have in your previous life, you will add to that balance in this life. To your punya from previous life, you cannot add. You can only make new account, new punya account. Every time we get into a new body, we make a new punya account, new pap account. We do suffer the consequence of old punya and pap, but we cannot add or subtract to that. The Sukriti account, we start from previous life's balance. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that my devotee will never perish. That doesn't mean devotees don't die or don't get old or don't get disease. Devotees will get old, die, get disease, everything. But Krishna says devotee will not die. So devotee will not die in terms of his devotional service will not die. The devotional service that we have performed in this lifetime is what is going to go with us. So in order for us to donate, coming back to charity, if we donate in the mode of goodness, we earn punya. But if we donate, if we don't want punya, we want sukriti, then we cannot donate in the mode of goodness. We have to donate in mode of pure goodness or Vishuddha Sattva. In Sanskrit, goodness is Sattva and pure goodness is Vishuddha Sattva. So we must donate in order to earn Sukriti, we must donate in Vishuddha Sattva. Donating in Sattva is not good enough. So donating in Sattva is like donating somebody a free meal. If you give a poor person who cannot afford a lunch, buy him a lunch or give him a lunch, That is charity in mode of goodness. Person is hungry, poor, somewhat deserving, right time, right thing, you give him proper vegetarian lunch. So, mode of goodness. But in order to make that mode of goodness charity to convert into a pure goodness charity, what do we have to do? Do not donate food, donate prasadam. The prasadam is not food, it's vegetarian. It can be used as food, it does fill up one's belly, but is not technically food. What is it? It's mercy of Krishna. So, in that sense, when you give somebody prasadam, you're not giving food, you're giving him mercy of Krishna or her. Whoever is the recipient is not getting food, is getting mercy of Krishna. So that charity will become sukriti. And any time you do that kind of charity, that adds to your sukriti account. And that sukriti account can never diminish. It will always add. With the charity in the mode of goodness, you're still running a risk of supporting or feeding somebody, and once he or she is fed and goes, commits a crime of some kind. But donating or charity in the pure goodness, you have no chances of any bad karma coming back from that, because you did not donate food, you donated Krishna's mercy. So when you donate Krishna's mercy, nothing can go wrong. It cannot backfire. Like Krishna says to Arjuna, you don't think you should fight the battle. You think you will earn paap? Then do it for me. Because anything we do for Krishna cannot earn paap. He will take care of you. He will take responsibility. So that way, understanding charity is very important. Many people give to United Way, and there are big charities out there. I don't know. The whole world is donating for Africa, for feeding the African poor people, children, this, that. The whole world is donating to that. But how much of that money actually comes to Africa? A large portion of that money goes into the administration of that charity. If you Google it, you will find out how much of the charity is actually going in the administration. And the rest of the charity will go to kill the cows and feed the poor people. Cows, burgers, pork. So, all kinds of bad karma you are creating by causing that. And then more bad karma is created by those people killing those animals to serve them. And then more bad karma is created by those who are eating because they cannot be exempt. Just because I'm poor, I cannot afford a meal, somebody gave me meat to eat, I am free from my karma? No, I'm not. I still have to pay for that karma. So look at how many times we are creating bad karma and for how many people, and the result is devastating. To donate to any of these charities. So we should donate carefully, knowing where the money is going. If it goes directly into Krishna's service in any way, shape or form, then it's gone in the right direction. We deposited that money into the Sukriti account, cannot backfire, cannot bounce, cannot diminish, cannot go down, nothing can happen to it. It's rock solid. Anything else? Anything can happen. Okay. Everybody understands the charity not only in three modes of nature, but transcending the three modes and taking your charity into Shuddha Sattva. Number 12 principle given by Narad Muni is reading of scriptures. Like that. Reading the scripture. Why should we read the scripture? Narad Muni Prabhu is giving. Why should we read the scripture? Yes. To get knowledge. Good answer. Anyone else? Keep up with Krishna consciousness. Rule book of life. Providing?
By reading scriptures. It's like talking to Krishna.
Hari Bol. Reading scriptures is like talking to Krishna. I haven't heard a beautiful answer like that in my life. Thank you. So there is a little bit of a question or concern that devotees have in this regard. Shri Radha Bhakti Bihari ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. That many places in the scriptures it is said that reading the scripture or nothing else is necessary for one to go back home to Godhead. Just chant Hare Krishna. You don't need any knowledge, and if you have too much knowledge, actually you are running a risk of becoming puffed up and losing your devotional service. But then on the other hand, the principle is reading of scriptures. Srila Prabhupada also said, read my books. And so on. So what is the, how do we balance that?
Practice.
Practice balancing. Yes. Reading the scriptures and practicing in our home life. So we have to justify knowing and studying and acquiring knowledge. Why are we doing that? As Prabhuji said, we do that to maintain our own Krishna consciousness. Because if we just chant and not have any knowledge, then if we fall from chanting, then there is nothing to put us back on track. fall, you just fall. Nothing to go back. The other thing is, how are we going to justify our devotional service or whatever we're doing to the rest of our family? We need to understand what we're doing and know about it to be able to justify it to the rest of our family. Then how are we going to train the people who are dependent on us? Like our children, it could be friends, it could be other younger generation in the family. The people who look up to us, how would we train them or tell them about what we're doing or Krishna consciousness? Now the other thing is, so many people will come around to convince you the other way. Mala phera jagua, phera naman ka phera. Useless to chant on beach, doesn't do anything. All kinds of nuisance philosophies are out there. So if you are not trained in what you are doing, then somebody else will come and convince you to do something different. It may be nuisance, it could be absolute nonsense, but if you don't know how to defend yourself, how to defend what you are doing, then you run a risk of being convinced by this other person. I tell you a story. There was one Mataji, she was divorced. And she was coming to our Bhakti Vriksha program regularly. And she was working someplace to make ends meet. Shri Shri Radha Bhakti Bihari ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki. So where she was working, she had a supervisor who was a man. And he was always trying to convince her to become Paramatmavadi, because he was a Paramatmavadi and he was a preacher of Paramatmavadi. So he would try to convince her that what you are doing is wasting your time, or this is a devotion of a very low level. You should rise above Krishna consciousness and start to recognize Paramatma. And she would try to fight him with the Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge, that knowledge, here, there. She would come and consult with me. I'll give her some ammunition and she will go take it back, and then he would give her something else, then she would bring it to me, and I would give her something else, and then she will take it to him. So one day she said, "You know, I'm getting tired of this." I said, "Well, then let's do this. Next Bhakti Vriksha is actually at your house. So why don't you invite this person to come to the Bhakti Vriksha, and we'll explain it to him over there." So she said, "No, he will not come, this, that." I said, "Well, what can we do? If he will not come, he will not come. We're not going to force him. But invite him as nicely as you can. As, don't say that it is to do with anything. We're not going to discuss anything with him. Just invite him on a friendly basis. And really, I'm not going to directly debate with him either. I will just, you know, consider him as one of the participants, and that's it." So I explained whatever I could. And this person kept looking at me as if I had holes in my head. And then at the end of the program, we said, okay, we're going to chant one round of japa. So to this program, he actually brought his wife also. And his wife was looking at her husband and looking at everybody else and trying to behave the same way as her husband was behaving. So she was sitting in the middle of the women, and when the beads were given, you know, everybody is given the beads, you cannot refuse, you just take because you're in somebody's house and there are so many people, you don't want to, but these people are trying to preach against chanting, and here they are given the beads to chant. So reluctantly they take the beads, and this gentleman, he held on to the beads for the first minute or so, and then he slipped it aside, and you know, in between I was checking what is going on, and he was not chanting at all. But this wife of his, who was sitting in with the women, because of, you know, peer pressure, everybody will be looking at me, just to make a show of it, she was chanting, not from the heart, just so I don't look odd, so I'll just do it. So nothing, everybody takes prasad and everybody goes home. But next morning, this woman, the employer's wife, calls Madhu, our Mataji, who was hosting the Bhakti Raksha, and tells her of her problem. She says, I don't know what you guys did to me. That Hare Krishna Mahamantra is just not coming off my head. I chanted it a couple of times with you yesterday, and it's just like fixed in my head. I just cannot take it out. It just keeps going. It keeps going. I am so afraid my husband is going to find out, and I am going to have trouble holding my marriage together if he found out that I'm actually chanting the holy name. So, interestingly, that Krishna did something on her, and now somehow or other she has convinced her husband to also chant, and they're both chanting. So, really, in this example, all of our knowledge failed. We tried, nothing worked. It failed. But Krishna didn't fail. The holy name did not fail. But bringing them up to the holy name also came from this knowledge only. From this knowledge we know when to give up. If somebody is so defensive, just does not want to listen to you, then you bring in the offense, not preaching to the faithless the glories of the holy name. No. We don't teach them the glories of the holy name, we just give them the holy name. And then the holy name do the job that we couldn't do. We can't think of doing something that is so difficult. But Krishna can do it. Holy name can do it. So, no matter, you do not need the scriptures, you do not need the knowledge to go back to Godhead, but you still need the scriptures, you still need the knowledge to survive in this material world. For your own Krishna consciousness, for your family, for your co-workers, for employer, your neighbors, this, that, so many other influences are there. If you cannot convince them of what you're doing, they will convince you of what they're doing. So you have to be strong in your Krishna consciousness. And in order for us to be strong in our Krishna consciousness, we must read and study the scriptures. Okay? Point made? Understood? Next is simplicity. Like this guy. Anybody knows who this is?
Bart Simpson.
This is not Bart Simpson. This is Bhakta Bart Simpson. Look at, he's wearing his dhoti, his kurta, his tilak, he's got his bead bag, and he is holding the Krishna book in his hand. Look closely. This is no Bart Simpson. This is Bhakta Bart Simpson. And he is giving a message which you cannot read. I can read. Yo, peace man, don't eat the cow. He is telling everyone not to eat the cow. So we're showing you this in the matter of simplicity. Simple message, simple presentation, simple dressing, simple everything. That's what it means by being simple. What simple does not mean is I'm wearing torn clothing. I have stains on my clothes that won't come out. And because I'm simple, I just still keep wearing torn and stained clothes. That's not simple. Simple means neat, clean, tidy and simple. Because we are a preaching movement. We cannot be wearing torn clothing and mismatch and clothes that won't clean, come out clean, giving a wrong impression. If we give a wrong impression, we cannot preach properly. So it has to be simple and neat and clean. Not just the clothing, everything that we do. Everything that we do at work, outside, at home, in the temple, everything has to be neat and clean, not leaving carbon footprints behind. Why simplicity? What is the advantage of simplicity? Yes? More time to practice Krishna consciousness is a very good advantage. If you are simple, you are following simplicity, you can save time from making things extravagant and put that into Krishna consciousness. Somebody else raised their hand. Can't hear anything. Is the mic working?
When you're simple, only what's important matters in life. The rest doesn't matter.
Only holy name matters in life and the rest doesn't matter.
Only what is important in life matters in simplicity. The rest does not matter. Like what the baggage, everything that people hold on to.
Yes. So extravagant things that are more than simple are not really needed, are useless for your devotional life. Good. That's a good answer. Anybody else would like to contribute? Why be simple? Oh, I'm supposed to be able to see that. How did I see that? Yes. Very good. Very good. Simplicity is also beautiful in its own way. Simplicity gives a feel of gentle, kind, and durable, long-lasting. The more simple something is, more long-lasting. The more extravagant, too many things, too many sprinklers on top, the more short-term it is. So simplicity is good all around, and that's why Narad Muni is preaching about simplicity. Number 14 is satisfaction. Oh, our time is up. Okay, we'll just do the satisfaction. Anybody satisfied here? You want to see somebody satisfied? This cow is satisfied. Sitting on a beam. There is a satisfied cow. Of course, that's just for fun. But the matter to discuss is what gives us satisfaction and why we should be satisfied. And what we should be satisfied for. Those are the matters of discussion. What gives us satisfaction is the most important. What gives us satisfaction? Doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing? Anybody gets satisfied by doing the wrong thing? Anybody here will derive satisfaction from doing wrong thing? No. So, satisfaction comes from doing the right thing. That is the best that we can. That's where satisfaction comes from. There's so many other, but just quickly trying to get the point rolling in people's heads so you can think about more and you can continue this discussions among yourself, especially the truthfulness one, and keep going in the community. Take help from each other and give support to each other on all these points. That is the idea of the community. If we do not take help or give help to others, then what good is a community? So that is satisfaction. Why one should be satisfied? One should be satisfied because
good for the health, first of all.
Good for health, and good for spiritual health, and good for bhajan kriya. It's good for your Krishna consciousness. Because if you're not satisfied, that means you're just always hankering for more. And what should we be satisfied from? Satisfied from what? That I chanted my 16 rounds yesterday, so I'm satisfied that I did it yesterday. I don't have to worry about it today. That's one way of being satisfied. right? We should be satisfied from material things, not our spiritual practice or spiritual progress. We should not be satisfied from our spiritual progress or spiritual practice. We should be satisfied from material things. That is satisfaction. So, we were able to cover 14 points, and you can pick up more. This is from the 7th canto, 11th chapter, and starting from verse 8, all these points are given that we have discussed here. There are 15, 16 more. Discuss amongst yourselves, and if you have any questions or comments, you can give now, or if you want to send them to me, you can send them to me later also. Any questions or comments for now? I have brought some Radhashtami Prasad from Gaborone, Botswana devotees. They sent for you. So I would like to try to distribute that today as well. And if we can, we would like to do a group picture of everybody sitting together. Rukma Prabhu, can you help us with that? Any questions or comments? Yes?
Talk about charity. I think the best way to perform charity is, as you say, do something that's in line with Krishna's mercy. But what about people who don't know anything about maybe Krishna consciousness? So I think the best way to do charity is, you know, as they say, teach someone how to fish. Don't even fish. Because if you teach them how to fish, tomorrow they're not going to come begging for charity. Tomorrow they will come prepared to.
Yes. Yes. So that's why we give them, in charity, we give them Krishna or Krishna consciousness. In charity, we take them to their father. Like a little child who's lost his or her father, that's all he or she needs. Go back to my father and that's it. My parents will take care of me. But we try to become their parents by trying to take care of them. We cannot. We cannot take care of ourselves. How are we going to take care of them? We think we're too smart by giving them one meal or giving them one blanket. I'm going to be happy and make this person's life better. No, do not. The best charity is to take them back to Krishna. Give them Krishna. Introduce them to Krishna consciousness. That there is no better charity. So should we take the picture first or should we give the prasadam out?
I'll just give 2 words.
Give 2 words.
Before we go for a photograph,
a few more.
I'd like to ask everyone, did we enjoy all the sessions? Please let me know. So, on behalf of Mr. Dharani, I'd like to thank Akhil Prabhu for giving his time and giving so much material that we can go on hearing more and more and more. But because the time is limited, it's by tomorrow. So, let's all get together and chant Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We pray to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Bihari, that he goes on performing, goes on with such a nice service, and we pray to one great blessing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
photograph, you want to take all the stairs there, or you want to take it?
We could photograph. There is enough light here, so yeah. If everybody could come, just come around the left.
Okay, so everyone can come, please. The gents can come this side, one of these can cover one side, so for photography, everybody can come.